Brother Jeff for that song. Thank you, Miss Naomi, also for that song, and thank you, choir. And I want to thank you for being here this morning. I want you to know, if you're here and you're in the house of the Lord this morning, that you were prayed for. Some of you specifically by name, you say, well, you didn't pray for me. You don't know who I am. Well, I prayed for you. Prayed that God would send you this morning. And I want you to remember to always keep a place for the Lord. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of things that we get concerned about and troubled about. Always keep a place for the Lord. He is great. He is gracious. He's loving. He's kind. But don't ever forget that He is the Lord. And He is the Creator. He created, the Bible says, more than one place, He created all things for Himself. And He created us, and He loves us, and God cares about you. You got your Bible this morning? We're going to be reading in Romans chapter number 8. And if you don't mind, I'm going to pull this tie off for a number of reasons. I got up this morning, and I went out there, and on my truck, it read 63 degrees. I'm getting excited. My temperature range is 35 to 55. I know that troubles some of you. We was here a few weeks ago, and I thought, boy, we had a good service, good crowd. We were going out, and a lady shook my hand. She said, I can't wait to get outside and thaw out. I just said, yes, ma'am. Folks, I could preach if it's sleeting on my head. So if the temperature's not right, we got a lot of deacons in here. Just speak to one of these men. They'll raise it up. They'll lower it down. This coat that I got on, to be honest with you, I don't wear it much because it's got to get down in the fall weather. I got here this morning, and my tie has mallards on it, okay? And I think, and I can get a nod in the back, the pretty ones are the guys, isn't that right? Okay, that's the one with the pretty stuff on his head, but he's got the fall leaves, and Brother Allen, he had on his pumpkin-colored tie. And I just thought, if Brother Tommy was here, we'd get our picture took. I do enjoy the fall, but folks, I enjoy everything that God's given us. I enjoy seeing the leaves change. When I see the leaves change, I think about the Lord. I think about how good He is. I think about how great of an artist He is. Sometimes when I'm going down the road and I see I like to look for the hickory trees that turn burnt orange, the whole tree. Then I look for the sunburst maple, and then I look for the maples that turn red, and then I look for the different colors. And sometimes I just talk to the Lord, and I say, Lord, you have really painted a pretty picture. And He does that in the fall. But then in the spring, when everything begins to green up, and the flowers begin to bloom, and the bees come out, and they start pollinating the flowers, I say, Lord, you painted a beautiful picture. Then we go sometimes and occasionally, and I'm sure we'll get to do this here before long, as I have my daughter and grandchildren are moving to Pensacola Beach. I'm sure I'll see it soon. And we'll see the sunrise on the beach. And you know what I say when I see the sunrise on the beach? I say, God, you really painted a pretty picture. Another thing I love to see is when I'm out on the lake. And I don't know what it is about the sun going down over the water, but the way that the sun cuts through the clouds and reflects off the water, I say, God, you painted such a pretty picture. I come in this morning, and there was a little baby that Heather had brought in. She's got beautiful blue little eyes, and I looked into those eyes of that child, and I thought about the scripture where David said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth quite well. I can't look into the eyes of a child and not say, God, you've painted such a pretty picture. What I've got this morning I want to share with you is different than anything I've ever preached on, never preached on this subject before, but I've talked about it in Romans chapter number 8, verse 26 and 27. And I want to read these verses to you, and I want us to begin to think about the movement of the Holy Spirit. But in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26 and 27, it says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit, big S, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The title that I have this morning is The Unspoken Request. Now, I want you, if you would, do you have anything on your heart? Do you have a request? You ever seen prayer requests where you say that I have an unspoken request? Do you have a prayer request? If you do, go ahead and raise your hand up. You got somebody that you know that needs the Lord. You've got something that you need in your life. Somebody's sick. Sometimes it's something that, and I've seen this before when we used to have a lot of prayer meetings, and would say, does anyone have an unspoken request? And they'd raise their hand, and you'd just acknowledge it, and you'd pray for the unspoken request. Sometimes it's a situation to where you don't want to share it, or sometimes you even can't share it. But I want to go a little bit beyond that this morning, and I want you to think about the times that there is something that you need in your life, and maybe you don't even utter it before God. You know, I've had people share with me things in times. It's kind of like the poem of the footprints in the sand. And as I begin to think about this scripture and what it means, I thought about that. You've seen the poem where there's footprints in the sand and you're beginning to walk through the difficulties of life. And as you walk through them, you see two sets of footprints in the sand because God is walking with you. And then as life goes on and maybe you get to what might be the most difficult times of life, you only see one set of footprints in the sand. And you say, God, during those most difficult times of my life, I saw only one set of footprints. Lord, why did you leave me? And that's when God speaks to us and he says, my child, I did not leave you. It was then that I carried you. And I want to talk about that unspoken request this morning. But before we get into this topic, I want you to think about the Holy Spirit. When you study the Bible, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit, every time that it shows up, it exalts the name of Christ. And if you study your Bible, you'll see that. So we know that that's one thing that the Holy Spirit does, is it always, always exalts the name of Jesus Christ. But another thing that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit guides us. In the book of John, in the 14th chapter and the 26th verse, the scripture says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. You know, you go back to the 16th verse, and Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So we know that the Holy Spirit exalts the name of Jesus, and we know that the Holy Spirit, it comes to guide us. But do you know or have you thought about the fact, based on the scripture that we just read, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us? See, the Holy Spirit goes before God, and the scripture says that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Now it says here, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now I want us to consider when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us this morning. And the first thing that I want you to think about is that the Holy Spirit intercedes when there are no words. As I begin to think about it, and I can remember times in my life, difficult times as I was growing up watching my mom and dad. They went through life and they suffered loss and they suffered pain like many of the people in the church have. And I've used this before to tell about the times when my mother shared with me when she lost my little sister, 3 years old, died of cancer. And it was intrusive, it was difficult, and my mother had to care for her while she had a tumor that basically destroyed her body. And the tumor came outward, not inward. And my mother had to bandage that, and she prayed every day that God would heal that child. My dad pastored a church and continued to try to serve God and work during that time. And when my little sister passed away, my mother, just as you could imagine, had a terrible, terrible time dealing with that. And she would go every day and she would sit up on the grave. And this is what she said. She said, I got to the point that I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know what to do. But then she told me about this scripture. And this is where this scripture first become real to me. Where it said that spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And here's what I want you to understand. I believe based on what I read and what I find in the Word of God that there are times when God intercedes for you and me in the midst of our circumstances when we are so low and so hurt and so troubled that the words may not even be able to come out of our mouth. As I begin to think about this, when are these times? It's the time when you hurt and you don't know what to do. It's the time that you don't know what to say. It's the time when you feel like you've gone as far as you can go. I had another person share with me after the loss of a loved one, and it was a loss of a child, how they had to come to the point that they just sit quietly, knowing that they were not where they needed to be, waiting on God to move on their behalf. In the scripture, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9, you find the story of a woman who had an issue of blood. This was a woman who had, if you'll have it, an unspoken request. Because she saw where Jesus was at, and she heard of who he was, and she heard of what he had done. And when she came behind him, there were no words. She just got down, and she reached out with her hand, and she touched the hem of his garment. You see, that was an unspoken request, but it was a reaching out to God. There are times in our life that I believe that we get to the point when we're going through things and we're suffering through things and we don't know how we're going to get over them, that the only thing we can do is sit and wait and reach out to God. But you see, I believe it's during these times that the Holy Spirit is making intercession on your behalf. And that's what I want you to get and see and understand this morning, is that God loves you, and he loves you right where you're at. He loves you when you're praying. He loves you when you're praising. But he also loves you when you're hurting to the extent that you don't even have the words. You see, when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to say, I believe it's during these most difficult times that the Holy Spirit is actually fighting for you. You see, if you look at the 27th verse, it says, he maketh intercession for the saints. Listen to this part. According to the will of God. Have you ever given thought to the fact that God so much loves you that he give the authority and the office to the Holy Spirit to go and to pray and to intercede on your behalf? You know, the Bible tells us when we pray and we ask anything, to ask it in Jesus' name. But I can't help but tell you, it helps me and comforts me to know that the Holy Spirit is interceding on my behalf between me and God. Now, I want to give you another one to consider when the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit intercedes on your behalf when you've lost understanding. You see, not everybody understands exactly what to do. They don't know where to go. But do you ever pray for a loved one and say, God, send somebody to speak to them and do the things maybe that you can't do or I can't do? I've got loved ones that I've tried to help. I've got people that I've tried to help, and I can't help everybody. I want to help people. I want to do the work of the Lord. But there are times that I've actually prayed that God would send somebody. There's a story in the book of John, the 4th chapter, that talks about a woman that met Jesus at a well. When she came to the well, and Jesus sat down upon the well, and he asked her to give him a drink of water, and she said, well, you don't No, I'm a Samaritan, and the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings. And he speaks to her and he says, if you'd have known who I am, you'd have asked and I would have given you living water. And as he's calling her to come, he tells her, already knowing the whole circumstance and situations, because he's calling her to him to minister, he said, call your husband. Now, there's a, you know, sometimes we look at this. Have you ever thought about that maybe Jesus was saying, call your husband so that when I minister to you, I can minister to both of you at the same time? But this woman had come to the place that she had lost understanding. She had lost understanding in several areas of her life. You see, he told her when he said, call your husband, she said, the man I've got, he's not my husband. Jesus said, well, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Because he already knew everything that was inside of her, and immediately she started talking about religion and worship in the mountain, and he stops her, and he says, the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, she had problems in her life that dealt with several different things. But Jesus knew exactly what she needed. See, she lacked understanding about relationships, and she lacked understanding about worship. And like a lot of people trying to make it work, trying to figure it all out, maybe trying to find love and acceptance somewhere. But Jesus cared more about her than she could possibly even realize. He understood what she needed, and he understood what she needed from God. Sometimes when we're in the midst of our circumstances and in our life, do you realize that God cares about you right where you're at? Sometimes people think, well, if I could just get it cleaned up, then I'll come. Then sometimes it's almost like I don't have to get it cleaned up. I'll just come as I am, and I'll stay as I am. That's not it either. I saw a church sign recently, and it said this, come as you are and change inside. You see, when we come to Jesus, just like those that came that found him at his birth, those wise men, they came, but they left a different way. This woman, when she came to Jesus, she had lost understanding, but when she came, she left a different way because she went and she spread the word, come and see a man that told me all things I ever did. And when she came and she spread the word, she told about Jesus. And this is what I believe God will do in your life. God can come into your life knowing right where you're at because God's already interceding on your behalf. He cares about what's going on in your life. Sometimes people don't want to come to God because they're afraid. What is God going to do to change me? All God really wants to do is make you the very best you that you can be. And I wish people could get a hold of this right here. Everything that is in this world that people strive for, they reach out for, and they find fulfillment in sometimes is simply a counterfeit for something better that God has for you. You see, this woman had a need. Could you imagine walking around every day? And some of us do. I do. Do you ever walk around with a burden? You've got something pulling you down. You've got something weighing you down. Could you imagine the trouble in her life? Her worship was not right. Her relationships were not right. And when she came to Jesus and Jesus saw her coming, he knew everything that was going on in her life. And all he wanted to do was help her. You see, all of us have an unspoken request. And she had one, but she really didn't even understand, in this case, what it was. I want you to consider one more. I want you to think about when you've lost your direction. Sometimes people lose their direction, and it's for different reasons. Sometimes it's people who were very close to God. Do you know that the Apostle Peter, prior to the crucifixion, was very close to Jesus? He walked with him, and when they came to take Jesus, when he was betrayed by Judas there in the garden, what did Peter do? He jumped up and he drew his sword and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. Many times when Jesus would speak, he would stand up and say, "Oh, no, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen." Well, what happened to Peter? You see, Peter failed. Peter denied the Lord three times and the third time with a curse. He saw him take Jesus and put him on a cross, crucify him. And when he was there and they took him down and they placed him in a tomb, and no doubt Peter, facing failure, disappointment, disillusioned. Now we know that he ran to the tomb and we know that he went inside, and we know that Jesus showed himself to the disciples many different times, but even though that happened, if you read in the 21st chapter of John, what does it say about Peter? Peter had lost his direction. And he just went right back to doing what he had did before. The scripture said that Jesus had showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And when he came to them, what did he find? Peter said, "I go a fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." You see, Peter was a fisherman prior to being called to follow the Lord. And I believe, based on what I'm reading here, that he had got to the point he just lost his direction. He was disillusioned, so he went back to what he knew. I heard a pastor say one time, he was talking about how sometimes people can't move forward in their life because they won't turn loose of their past. Sometimes it could be a broken relationship. Sometimes it could be a bad decision. Sometimes it could be even moving forward, asking God to help you move forward in your life. And he talked about how sometimes people would even go into business, and because they didn't really trust God, they never got rid of their old toolbox. And as I listened to him and I thought about my old toolbox, sitting in the garage, and every now and then I go look at it, and I can never look at that toolbox without thinking about that message that that preacher preached. Because sometimes in our life, in order for us to step forward and follow God, you got to walk by faith and trust him in the times that you cannot see the answers. You see, Peter was in a place that he had lost his direction. See, what do you do when you're trying to serve God and you face disappointment? What do you do when things simply did not turn out the way that you had hoped that they would? What do you do when you've tried and are disheartened by the loss and challenges that are absolutely beyond your control? Now, I understand why Peter was fishing, but there was more going on. Peter had got out on the boat, and they weren't catching any fish. Not only was Peter on the boat not catching any fish, but Peter was on the boat, and the scripture said that he was naked. You see, Jesus was on the shore, and here's what the unspoken request is. They didn't have to say, "God, would you help us? God, would you get direction to us?" But Jesus came to where they were to give them exactly what they needed. As Jesus was on the shore and they were catching no fish, he spoke up to those that were in the boat and he said, "Cast the net on the right side and you shall find." They had fished all night and caught nothing. So what did God do in this case? He sent them a blessing. Have you ever been to the point in your life that you just say, "God, I need a blessing"? I was talking to some folks in the church this week. We got a lot of folks going through things, folks. We got serious surgeries that have been had, serious surgeries that are coming up. And I said, "I'm just praying that God would send you a blessing. I need one sometimes. I need encouragement. I need God to speak to me. That's exactly what Jesus did when he sent those fish. How many was it? I got it wrote on my wall at work. It was 153, and the net did not break. There's a message there too. That was encouragement sent by God. Then what else did the Lord do? Jesus, on the shore, sit down and prepared a meal for them. And he said, come and dine. You see, here's what I want you to understand. God knows everything about you. You're not hiding anything from God. There's nothing you can do to cover it up if you've done it, because God knows about it. We don't want to know about it, right? We don't want to know all of one another's failures, because we can't deal with it, but God can deal with it. God knew everything about Peter. He knew that Peter was on the boat naked, because when Jesus said, come and dine, Peter cast the coat about himself and jumped into the sea. But I can just see old Peter as he climbed up out of that water, and he walks over there with that coat around him, shamed, troubled, disappointed, disillusioned. But God had prepared him a blessing. But he said, sit right here and eat this fish that I've prepared for you. You see, sometimes in our life, the unspoken request is when God moves on our behalf. Do you know the message to Peter? Is Peter, stay on course. Don't lose your direction. Now, do we know that Peter did? Well, according to the history of the church, we do. Now, this is not written in the Bible, but it's common in history, is that Peter, and this is true of all of the disciples, if you want to study about their lives, all of the disciples, they died because of their faith. They tried to get them to deny, but they wouldn't deny Jesus because they had seen him. According to history, Peter was crucified upside down, because he said he did not feel worthy to die like his Lord died. So they hung him on a cross upside down. This is the same one that denied him. This is the same one that cast himself into the sea with a coat around him. This is the same one that cut off the ear. Do you know that God loves you just like you are, and he's not trying to turn you into somebody else? Sometimes he can take the passion of who we are, if you're a person like Peter, and he can use it for his honor and glory. If you have the heart of love like John, he can turn that and use it for his honor and glory. God didn't make us all the same. But one thing I believe God does is God knows every unspoken request. And what I want you to understand is he knows them even when you don't ask them. There's a verse of scripture in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that I read sometimes and I need God to remind me of. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means what God started, God will finish. God knows right where you're at, and he cares for you right where you're at. In fact, he cares so much. Remember Romans 8:27 says that he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit, the office of the Holy Spirit, to honor and lift up Jesus, to guide us in all things? Brother Billy and I were down a couple days this week, and we were working. We broke a bolt on a bush hog. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that we prayed for a bolt. We were miles away from anything. God provided a bolt. And me and Brother Billy, we praise the Lord. We said, thank you, Lord, for a half-inch bolt, 3 inches long, and a lock washer. And then we went on and we got the bush hogging done, and we broke the plow. And it was even worse. And we said, oh, what we got to have. And we went through it. And it wasn't easy. You know, sometimes it's not going to be easy. We went through 3 batteries trying to cut a tempered bolt. And praise God, we found the horseshoe bolt that we needed. Riding over there, vibration, I lost one of the nuts and I was upset with myself. It come off and I thought, oh Lord, we ain't got no more. And I looked down on the tractor and Brother Billy, when they put weights on the tractor, had used some for spacers. And I said, well, I can take that off and use that. And I said, God, you just continue to provide. And sweat dripped off of my face and mud was running in my eyes. Can I tell you, sometimes it's not easy. But God provided. And after working for what seemed like an hour in the sun, it was fixed. You see, God knows exactly what you need, but sometimes as God sends what you need, you got to be willing to do your part to make it work. This woman didn't know how to speak the words, but she reached out. Have you ever hurt so bad that you needed the Holy Spirit to speak on your behalf and God to send comfort and grace because you don't know what to do? What about direction? You can say it's nobody's business what you do if you want to, but you know when you're in a mess. I ain't got to tell you. I'm not God's police. I'm just wanting to tell you that God loves you right where you're at, and if you want help, he can help you. What about the times that you've tried and you're disappointed, you're disheartened, and you're troubled? The Lord wants to encourage you this morning because he hears our hearts. I can't do that, but he hears our heart. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and they're going to play this song. If God has spoke to you in any way this morning, you'd like to pray, I want you to know that here's what I want you to understand, and I can't explain it enough. I know I can't. God loves you more than you can even comprehend, and he wants to help you. But the first and most important thing God wants from you is just this. It's you. Just you. He wants to know you and have a personal relationship with you, and he wants you to have a personal relationship with him. That begins when you accept him as your Savior. Then what God wants to do in the simplest things of our life, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that I prayed for a half-inch bolt, and I prayed for a U-bolt, and I prayed for the battery on my Sawzall not to go dead till I was able to get it done. I'm not ashamed to tell you the times that we've prayed for our daughter as she's moved away. God, help her to find the right place. God, help them to make the right decisions. Now, these are little things. I'm not ashamed to say that I pray regularly for my sons and my future daughters-in-law, that God had got them. I'm not ashamed, of course, to tell you that I pray, God, give me exactly what you want me to preach on Sunday morning, so that your people will be fed. Do you have something little or maybe something big? But maybe just something that's in your heart that God already knows, but it might help you if you talk to him. As they play this song, if you'd like to come, would you come?
There are days when conversation comes so easy, and it's all about your all-consuming love. Praises soar and my heart starts believing there is nothing you and I can't rise above. Yeah. time to listen to somebody.